Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 173 weeks of Paul and I and a few others bringing you the hottest news stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about every week, week after week. We had a lot of good conversation after last week, Paul. And we actually, didn't we ask them to talk about tax tips?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody did that, really.
No, there were some good tips in there.
I felt that more that they wanted to talk about the concept of paying developers to develop apps. That
yeah.
was more of a trigger for them.
We're happy to get any comments whatsoever. Like, if they want to talk about the actual things that are interesting versus ways that I can shave, like, $8 off my taxes, then so be it.
You want to talk about fantasy football, whatever you people want to talk about, I am here for you. But I did think that they really want to talk about the idea of paying developers, you know, the $100 promotional thing that we talked about last week. And most of them seemed really not in favor of this, which I found kind of shocking, since they're the developers and they're the ones who are receiving the $100. I am in favor of me getting $100 all the time.
Yeah, I think that they're somewhat worried about app quality and about the incentives just to get anything into the app store. And if they're trying to develop quality apps and they say, oh, I'm making a Windows 8 app or a Windows Phone 8 app, they don't want to have other people making crappy apps to tarnish their reputation. So it's kind of what Charlie Kindle was saying about making sure you have the right incentives for getting developers to build quality apps in an ecosystem. So we'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely, and that's totally valid. Although I stand on the opinion of sort of the cream will rise to the top, and people are probably going to make some crappy apps regardless. Being what I consider an app connoisseur of both Windows Phone and Windows 8, I'm going to tell you that there are some apps that I would not give 5 stars to say the least. So it's going to happen no matter what.
What I would give 5 stars to are the tax tips. There was a guy called UK Taxes Are Too High. And his recommendation was, don't move to the UK. That's one way to save money on taxes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think there's a...
I think the U.S. taxes are too high.
Yeah, well, I live in California, where there's also a state income tax.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, not fun at all. And then another one was from Von Bern. He says, dear Paul, do it like Google, Starbucks, and Amazon, and don't pay any taxes. Just put your headquarters in the Netherlands. Best regards, Form the Netherlands, which I think is Dutch for from.
Right. Well, you know, there was a funny little Facebook image going around a few weeks ago that said, like, you're so excited when you realize you're getting, like, money back from your tax refund until you realize it was your money to begin with. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we start the show?
Let's do it.
All right, Paul, so a few weeks ago, we talked about something which is awesome, called Illumiroom, right, where your Kinect actually projects part of video games and turns your entire room into like a 3D experience. Remember this?
Yep.
Yeah, and at the time, I was like, this is awesome. This is so cool. I can't wait to get it, and I still feel that way. And now another Illuma product is being talked about and created through Microsoft Research, and it's called IllumaShare. And while it's not as exciting as turning your living room into a 3D video game experience, it's still pretty darn awesome, and it involves you know, the use of a projector as well. Essentially, what it does is it allows you to turn your surface into a shared space that the person on the other end, be it, you know, your friend down the hall or your friend on the other side of the planet, can see and add to and contribute sort of writing or images or whatever it is. It's as though they were sharing that exact same physical space with you.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So when you say surface, it's actually like a piece of paper or any flat surface, not necessarily a Microsoft Surface
right,
Pro.
Right, sorry, yeah,
or
I didn't
RT.
Mean that.
Yeah, I know. It's hard when you have an awesome name like Surface that it's actually an actual object that describes things as well, or an adjective. So this thing's pretty cool because it combines a projector and a video camera to identify objects and drawings that you are doing in front of you, and then it can project those in near real time to a colleague that could be anywhere else in the world. And there's some pretty interesting tech behind this in how they make it work, because you can, what you're drawing will show up on the other side, and what they're drawing shows up in front of you. And I didn't really think about this for that long, but in an article that I read, apparently they have like this video echo disabling service where it will detect what you're drawing and it will detect what they're drawing, so that when it actually projects what they're drawing in your space, it will not then reproject what it's projecting in your space on the other person's side. So you won't get this type of effect where, you know, you draw something and then like small little modifications then get reprojected onto the other person's screen. So it's actually very, very interesting on how they got this to work.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And if you watch the video, which we'll show you some clips of, it's not only like, it doesn't have to be a pen or a writing. You can throw in 3D objects like dice, that they use cards. You can actually even see the person's hand as they're writing or drawing or rolling dice or shuffling cards or whatever it is. It's really, really amazing. It's almost like not quite a hologram, but I mean, it's as though they're right here in the room with you, Paul. I wish we should get that and we could Illumishare the Ping set.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Well, I mean, we don't really want to share physical objects at all. Like, I mean, what's mine is mine. I don't want to share it with you. but there are a couple of limitations that they have talked about. For example, the work can't be saved yet, but they'll likely fix that at some point in the future.
Yeah, this is still in research mode, far, far from being like out to the public.
Yeah, I hope that my next visit to Microsoft campus, I can start seeing some of these things. Maybe they can put them in the visitor center or something for our non-full-time employees anymore. But one thing I found interesting about the article is that they played a game of tic-tac-toe, but PocketLint.com actually called it knots and crosses.
I saw that.
I had no idea that tic-tac-toe was called different things around the world, so perhaps that will be one of our questions of this week is, what do you call tic-tac-toe in your country?
Yeah, if it's knots and crosses, I wonder if other place calls it X's and O's, and where the hell, I mean, that makes a lot more sense. Where do we get tic-tac-toe from? Americans are silly.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, I don't know about you, but my brother and I, when we were little, we used to, you know, stare up at the stars and gaze out into the galaxy and you know, wait for shooting stars and look at planets and hope to see, you know, whatever exciting thing was going on up there. And, you know, we all dreamed of, like, one day walking on the moon or, you know, being out there in the solar system. Right, Paul? Did you share
Absolutely.
This childhood dream with me?
Yeah, I lived out in the country. There wasn't a whole lot to do.
There you go. Paul, tipping cows and looking at stars. That's how he got to be where he is today. Anyway, now there's a way to sort of experience the galaxy right from your soon-to-be mobile phone, and it's called the World Wide Telescope. This is something Microsoft has shown off before, and they've now partnered with NASA to actually get the most, you know, accurate and detailed information possible.
Yeah, this is a really cool initiative that I think has been going on for 4 or 5 years, where they've been gathering tons of data, lots of imagery ranging from things from the Hubble telescope to infrared versions of infrared views of the galaxy. And now they have this website that's available, worldwidetelescope.org, where you can go through and you can give yourself a virtual tour of the galaxy. You can follow different flight paths of the telescopes and satellites that are out there. You can drill in on like each of the individual planets and look at different types of views. It's pretty amazing. And to think that this is something that NASA will use to help further its research and its own understanding of how space works, I think that this is a wonderful partnership for Microsoft.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is something as well that started back in Microsoft Research, but it is now available. As Paul said, you can go to this website. They said it's going to be coming hopefully to our cell phones, mobile phones soon. So this is just absolutely amazing, fun to play with. Really interesting if you're into astronomy at all. So go ahead and check it out. It's called Worldwide Telescope.
Yeah, and for the developers out there, there's an API that allows you to build like custom tours and lessons. So right now the website is built in Silverlight, and there is a client that you can download for Windows. But perhaps you can start playing with that API. So when it does become mobile friendly, you can be one of the first people out there to have apps that may be able to work with this data.
Awesome. All right, Paul. So I've mentioned before that I primarily use my Xbox for streaming movies. Now, that's just me. And I do use it for gaming, but usually when I use it for gaming, it's for, you know, a store-bought Blockbuster game. And that's just how I use it. And apparently, I'm not too rare because there's not enough people using the Xbox Live Arcade, or they're at least trying to get more people to use the Xbox Live Arcade. And one of the ways they're doing this is bribery.
It seems to be a consistent theme for Microsoft. But,
I'm all for it. We've announced a project called Play to Earn, where you actually, if you go in and you spend time and playing these Xbox Live Arcade games, you can earn Microsoft points. You can earn various other sort of prizes within your Xbox Live system. Not bad for playing games, Paul. Living the dream.
Yeah, this is another one of those things where, like, if you were doing it anyway, this is an additional incentive, and if you aren't already doing it, it's worth checking out. But I don't know if you want to spend like the 20 hours playing Xbox Live Arcade games if you don't actually enjoy it. So I think this will be an interesting thing to help people understand that Microsoft has a rewards program, that something called the Xbox Live Arcade does exist, and if you get introduced to it because of this and you enjoy it, you can play long enough to start earning some free stuff. For example, like 20 hours will get you a free avatar item. So you might be able to get your avatar a little shirt or a special pose or like a tiara or whatever Laura is trying to mime over
Tiara, little
there.
tie, machine gun.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing satisfies the needed There's also different incentives out there. So, like, if you purchased four Xbox Live arcade games that cost at least 400 Microsoft points, you can get a free month of Xbox Live Gold. And if you do splurge and spend 3,200 Microsoft points, they'll actually give you just 800 of those points back. So you can use that for some future month and try and accrue some of these additional rewards.
So there you go. Get on there, see what they have to offer. You know, personally, like, if I on my phone, I'll play the quick little, you know, arcade style games all the time. And I've just never really thought to do it on Xbox Live, but now I'm all for it.
Yeah,
Prizes.
I'm really looking forward to Double Dragon 2 coming out in April. So we'll probably have to download that.
We all are, Paul. All right, Paul, consistent with the theme of giving away things, enticing people to develop, there's a competition where you could win a trip to Australia, matey, right?
Was that a pirate?
There are pirates in Australia. Anyway, there's a the second round. We're in the second round of this competition, and the theme is you have to submit an app that has to do with medicine or health. It can be a Windows 8 or a Windows Phone app, and the only thing is it's got to be your first time submitting an app to Microsoft.
Yeah, so this is something specific for TechEd Australia 20,
Australia.
2013. So yeah, so the when you submit an app, it will be judged by a panel of judges. All of these people are, you know, active members in the community, whether they're on Lifehacker or if they are part of some of these other development studios. And if you're a finalist, then you get, I think there's six categories, and there's a finalist in each category. And if you're a finalist, you get an HP Envy X2 convertible Ultrabook, which is valued at about $1,000, and a Microsoft Arc Touch Mouse. The convertible Ultrabook is from HP, is like you can remove the screen from the laptop, and you can actually touch it just like a Surface. So it's pretty cool. And then if you are the ultimate winner of all the different categories, there's one winner, you will get a trip to Australia for TechEd. For TechEd 2013, so you get a free pass, you get 5 nights in a hotel, and you get round-trip airfare for up to $4,000.
Nice! I may start having to develop apps. Like, the $100, you know, there was a carrot dangling in front of my face, but a trip to Australia, so I can put some shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think people should double dip, where they first get the $100 for the app just for submitting it from the contest or the incentives from last week, and then this week they can submit those same apps to this contest.
See, now, Paul, that's why you're an entrepreneur and I work for the man.
That's right.
Now, these do have to be newly submitted apps, so it's not eligible for things that are already in the App Store. So they want to see new apps, and it's okay if they are ports from iOS or from Android. They just have to be new on the Windows Store.
Awesome. Good luck. All right, everybody, that wraps up the show this week. Thank you so much for watching. Please, please, please leave a message in the forums, in the threads. Leave a comment. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. And so Paul had given a little glimpse into what our question of the week was. And I want to say quickly that when I lived in Australia, not only do I want to go back with the winner of the competition, but when I lived there, I ordered a sandwich at the local deli, and they automatically put cranberry sauce on it without me asking if I wanted cranberry sauce. Like, it was disgusting, because who wants cranberry sauce on their sandwich?
At least it wasn't Vegemite.
Oh, yeah, that stuff's nasty. But anyway, I started to become fascinated with these little cultural differences, such as your notice earlier of the noughts and crosses. So I would love it if you guys wrote in and sort of shared with us some of the cultural differences that you've had or experienced, you know, traveling the world or just watching television, however you learned about them. I think it's fun. You know, they also call McDonald's Mackers, which is just wrong, because it's not. It's McDonald's.
It's like a Royale with cheese.
Well, that I like. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter, @LBoy, and this guy,
@PaulMest.
Go. We'll see you.